You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. We pray that today's message encourages you in your faith journey.
Well, it is an enormous privilege to be here. I think it's been about 10 years since I was last in a Sunday morning service with you. And I have to say that Pastor Graham hasn't aged a bit in that time. But Matt Daly, I have to say, there is grey in that man's beard. And I'm pleased that I wasn't the only one who didn't get the dress memo this morning, because I did my research before I came. I went online and I had a look at what Andy normally wears to church on Sunday. And what he's wearing today is not what he normally wears on Sunday. So I hope you forgive me if I haven't got a tie on. So, but look, it is wonderful. Graham mentioned the long association that our family has had with LMC and the friendship, and with obviously Pastor Oxley and Jill. They used to come to our church in Toowoomba in Queensland pretty much every year, I think, for many, many years. And they'd come and they'd preach. And I was reflecting this morning of a men's camp that Pastor Oxley took. And I realised it was actually before I got married. So we're talking about 32 or 33 years ago. I should know how many years I've been married, but it was a long time ago. It was about 1991. And I remember him giving some very practical advice on marriage, issues of sexuality, and these sort of things, which have stood me in good stead. And I'm just so grateful for Pastor Oxley's wisdom and who he was as a man. And it's so lovely to see Jill again today and to be with you all. So just love the association and the friendship, which goes back so many years. It's crazy. Life goes very quickly. Well, it is a commissioning Sunday today. And I want to speak into that a little bit and talk about how we are commissioned, obviously, for the ministries that are represented here, but what that means to us perhaps personally and perhaps even beyond this property and into our state and into our nation, and some of the things that that I feel particularly burdened about. Now, I'm sure you're all acquainted with the Mission Impossible movies. Who has seen a Mission Impossible movie? Most people, you pagans going off to the theatres. I think the reason we love things like Mission Impossible is because there's something hardwired into each of us as individuals that wants to go on a big quest and an adventure to achieve something that seems beyond the ordinary. Would that be right? I think that's something that's in the heart of most human beings. And I always love the start of the Mission Impossible movies because, you know, Tom Cruise or whoever it is, he's getting some sort of, you know, CIA type directive, and it might be like a cassette that a message plays and it says, "Your mission, should you choose to accept it," is, you know, blah, 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 and the music goes, and I'm not going to try and hum that. And then you hear that this message will self-destruct in 5 seconds, and he's running around looking for a garbage can or somewhere to throw this thing away so it doesn't blow up in his face. Well, today, I want to say your mission, should you choose to accept it in 2026, I'm going to get into that in a minute, but this message will self-destruct by nap time this afternoon if we're not careful. So that's my challenge. I've been reading in the last few months just through the early part of the Old Testament and the conquest of the land by the children of Israel. And it's really been speaking to me. I felt like for myself at the start of this year, I felt like God was saying that this was a year to take ground and to take the land. And when Graham asked me to share this morning, I just really felt that that has some applicability to us here today. And I guess the first thing to realise about taking ground for God is that the mission will always seem impossible. And of course, this was the case for the children of Israel. They got out of Egypt, of course, miraculously delivered. They found themselves on the other side of the Jordan, and Moses sent the spies in to spy out the land. And I'm sure we're all aware of the story, but they came across giants. The spies brought back a report that said, yes, it's an amazing land, there's incredible fruit, it is a land flowing with milk and honey, but there's giants in the land. And the Bible says in the book of Numbers that the people's hearts melted. And that's my version of AI. They did some giants. You can see it's on the previous slide there. There's the little children of Israel, quite scared, and the big giants. And then if you go to the next slide, And you can see, I've asked AI to do some illustrations. When you ask AI to illustrate Old Testament Bible figures, they all look like Charlton Heston. See, more of you are over 50 than I thought. But this is Joshua and Caleb, and they were the two spies who said, look, let's not be worried about the giants. We can go up and take this land. And the people were all saying, no, it's too hard. There's giants. We're scared. We don't want to do this. The people's hearts were melting. And Joshua and Caleb took it on themselves to attempt a commissioning. And it's what I would call an aborted commissioning. And they said these words to the people of Israel to try and encourage them to go into the land. They said, according to the hand of the good Lord upon us, take the land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will give us this land and the people of this land. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land. They are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. One of the great orations and speeches of Scripture in Numbers 14. And I'd love to say that everyone said, yes, you're right, let's go, we can do it. But of course, that's not what happened, is it? The next verse says they picked up stones and wanted to execute them. Now, in those days, that was a pretty gruesome way to be executed. You imagine you've just given this inspiring speech in the power of the Holy Spirit, and suddenly the people that you're ministering to, that you're trying to encourage and to exhort to take on their mission, they didn't want to take the mission. And they picked up stones, and they're going to throw rocks at your head until you are dead. That's a pretty scary thing. And of course, the scriptures say that God intervened. And we'll come back to the story in just a moment. But I just want to say, let's not let 2026 be a year of an aborted commission. Let's take up the challenge. Now, the next slide, I'm just going to take a little detour down memory lane and then try and bring it all back together as we go along. Now, this is a group of about 16 students from 1979. If you look closely, you'll see myself. My boyish good looks haven't changed. My brother is also in that photograph, and a whole bunch of other kids, some of whom whose destinies I don't know, some of whom have passed away tragically. Some are serving the Lord, some are not. But in 1979, very much in parallel with what God was doing here at LMC, our church started a little Christian school. Those uniforms were sewn by my mum. It was pioneering days. And I just want to say by that illustration to those of you who are staff in the school, in Oxley Kids, those of you who are involved in youth ministry in this church or just members of this church who care about the young people, don't underestimate the influence you can have on young lives. That's over 40 years ago, probably getting closer to... Well, anyway, I don't want to sort of talk about the decades that have gone past. It's a long time ago. But I was about 10 or 11 years old in that photograph, and I still today remember the godly teachers who influenced my life at that time, who were pioneering and sacrificing to get a Christian school off the ground, just as was happening here in this part of Australia, the other end of the country. And I'm very grateful for that. Our first principal, Mrs. Rusterholz, who's still alive, she's very old, but she was a professional teacher, who was sort of semi-retired at the time. She was sort of towards the end of her career. But she became the first principal just for petrol money. Wasn't paid. The other teachers took big pay cuts to come and serve in the school. And then the next slide, like you guys, God miraculously supplied property. We were just a very small church in Toowoomba. 30 acres was able to be purchased miraculously on the edge of town. The photo on the left is an early photo. In those days, there were no property managers or ground staff. The parents came and did working bees. Us kids were forced to go and help and all of that sort of stuff. And then, of course, very much like here, the property developed, and it's an amazing school at the moment, and it's going incredibly well. And my nieces are there at the moment, and it's great to see generations of Sheltons being blessed in that place, and nephews, I should say. And then we go to the next slide, and I just pinched this off your website, but you've obviously got an amazing property here, and we're celebrating that today and commissioning people in your service in this place. And I guess the point I wanted to illustrate from that is that God's given you incredible land here, physical land, which is very significant, facilities, And you think about the word facility. Well, that's a place to facilitate, and as Christians, I believe, to facilitate God's purposes in people's lives. It's a practical way of being able to draw people together and to do things, to teach, to have sport, to have fun, and to minister. But the sense that I had as I was thinking about this morning was that there's more land for you to take. Now, that might mean physical land, I don't know. I don't want to be prescriptive. I guess I'm sharing out of a sense of perhaps a little bit of a prophetic stirring in my heart, just to use those sort of spiritual expressions. I want to be very careful. I don't want to say that I've come here with inside knowledge or anything like this. I guess I'm trying to follow promptings of the Holy Spirit. But I just believe for all of us, whether it's as individuals, whether it's in the church, whether it's in the school, there's more land to take. And if we go to the next slide, Joshua chapter 13, verse 1, it says this. Now Joshua was old and advanced in years. And the Lord said to him, "You are old and advanced in years." I just love the way that so often in Scripture, God just states the obvious to us. Sometimes, I don't know if you're like me, you need the obvious stated to you. I certainly do. And then the Lord says, there remains very much land to possess. Now, we've just fast-forwarded from the earlier part of our story from the Scriptures, and the good news is that despite the aborted commission, eventually after 40 years, they did go and fulfill their commission and mission. And they did cross the Jordan, and they did take the city of Jericho, they took the city of Ai, and then progressively they drove the Canaanites, the idol worshippers, the people who were sacrificing children, who were involved in temple prostitution and all sorts of evil and immorality, they drove those people out of the land of Canaan and they settled the land. And that was a good thing and God commended them for that. But to me, it's interesting that towards the end of Joshua's life, the great general who led them through that conquest, God comes to him and says, "It's not all done yet. It's not all done. There's still more to do." And this is an amazing church. It's got an incredible legacy already over 68 years, as we've heard today. Even if you stop right now, you could be forgiven for doing that, thinking this is wonderful what's been achieved here, and it truly is. And it's been an amazing blessing for me this weekend to be with Graham and Chris and just sharing over meals and just hearing so many of the stories of the incredible thing that God's done in individual lives and what he's done on the property and the growth and the expansion. The kingdom of God is very much at work in this place. And I have to say, it was probably about 10 or 11 years ago when I first visited Graham here, having known him for many years prior to that, but having my first tour of the property, and every time I come back to this place, you just sense this is like an oasis. This is, there's a little bit of a touch of heaven right on this part of the earth. And I think that's incredibly significant. But I also feel this is not the place to stop. There's more land to possess. And in the next slide, you know, that can have a personal application. I believe that the way God speaks to us, obviously there's our personal piety, our relationship with Jesus, which is so important. That's the foundational part for all of us. All of us need to bow our knee before Jesus. And as we look towards taking ground in 2026, I think the first place to start is in our own personal life. How is my walk with Jesus going? Is this a year where I can take ground in terms of my dedication to Jesus in my own life? Is this a year where perhaps I can really try and get on top of the disciplines of my spiritual walk, being able to read the Bible more regularly, to study it better, to spend more time in prayer, to regularize those disciplines and rhythms of life, which are the foundation point of our life? Maybe that's what God's saying to some of us here today. I'm sure he's saying it to all of us. All of us can improve in that area of our life. There is definitely an aspect of our personal life and devotion to Christ where ground needs to be taken. It might be in our families. I think all of us, if we're honest, we've got challenges in our families. I certainly have. There's members of my family that are not with the Lord. I want to see ground taken in there. You don't give up. You keep praying. Marriages to be restored, relationships, all of these things. We can all think of issues in our lives, I'm sure, if we're honest. Unless you've got a perfect family, if you have, please come and see me afterwards. There's ground to be taken. Our vocations and you know, we've heard from Kim and Michael about Oxley Kids and Oxley College, the school, and obviously the work in the church. There's ground to be taken here. There are lives to be influenced, and I'm sure you can visualize them as staff, the people that are on your heart, that God's put on your heart. What ground needs to be taken in their lives? What ground needs to be taken in terms of developing programs and curriculum and the various initiatives that you have in each of these things? This is all ground to be taken. But I also want to encourage us to lift our eyes even a bit beyond what is on our plate, personally and also vocationally. I believe God also wants us as Christians, as part of the body of Christ, to be thinking and taking ground in our city, in our state, in our nation. And I guess that's where the next little detour I'd like to take this morning is into the political realm. And Graham very kindly said to me as part of the message, he said, please feel free to introduce the work of Family First and our passion and concern for the nation. And I'm very concerned for the state of Victoria, the state of the nation, but Victoria is one of the key states in our nation. And by any measure, all of us who live outside of Victoria are concerned for what's going on in this state. And about four or five years ago, a group of us reformed the Family First political party. And I was privileged to be appointed the national director of that. And we've been setting up the party right around the country. We started in South Australia, and then very quickly we were involved here in the 2022 election in Victoria, just very fledgling. We fielded 100 candidates. Jane Foreman, who's with us here today. Jane, stand up, Jane, if you don't mind. This is her commissioning today as well. Jane is our state chair. And yeah, give her a hand. She, along with so many other people, have joined our cause to try and get people of Christian faith and character and courage and boldness elected to our parliaments around the nation. Now, I've been running a political party for the last 4 years that doesn't have anyone in parliament yet. That's a little bit of a challenge, but we're building a platform and we believe that God's called us to do this work. And if you go to the next slide, the sort of ground I guess we'd like to see taken, that's the Victorian Parliament. It really has become a dark place. And I have to say, all of our parliaments have. There's a lot of wickedness that goes on in our parliaments, from the federal parliament to every state. Massive dysfunction, greed, selfishness, the legislating of evil. There's no other way to put it. And I'm just going to touch on a couple of things here. I mean, in Victoria, you've got so-called conversion therapy laws. And that all sounds, no one wants to convert anyone using some sort of crazy therapy or whatever. But what that means is that if there is a child in your family who's struggling with their gender identity and you try and dissuade them from going to the child gender clinic at the Royal Children's Hospital here in Melbourne, you could be put in jail for 10 years. That's what the law in Victoria says right now under your conversion practices legislation. And that is a grievous thing. Now, I think anyone who's struggling with their gender identity obviously needs care and support and love and compassion, of course. But a parent should not be mandated to send their child in a certain direction. But that's the law in this country. And, of course, if you're a pastor, a counsellor, a medical practitioner, and again, if you try and steer a child in a different direction, a watch-and-waiting direction, you could also be fined. That's just one of many terrible laws, and it's supported by both sides of politics, I have to say. That is just a fact. Both sides of politics went to the 2022 election supporting that, and that law is still on the books. The issue of human rights for the unborn, I love the way that Graham always wears his little feet lapel thing as a reminder that as a society, we don't value the human life of unborn babies, and we don't value the mothers who often find themselves coerced into these decisions. These are tough things. These are public policy issues. It's not everything that motivates us, but these are key issues which we cannot escape at Family First. We're also concerned about the economics of our nation. It's very difficult now. For the first time in my life, and probably in Australia's history, the next generation is probably not going to be as well off economically as the previous generation. That's a huge shift in our nation. We are in incredible debt, which people like John Anderson describe as intergenerational theft, and he's right. We've got an economic mess that needs to be sorted out. We've got social policy, economics. Our politics is broken in this nation, and sadly, Victoria is probably a little bit ahead of some of the other states. So we're doing our best. We've got some slides there of some of our people that we've been mobilising over the last few years. We ran 100 candidates at the last federal election all over the country. We ran 100 candidates at the 2022 Victorian election. All up, there would be thousands of people who have stood under the Family First banner and many thousands who have been mobilised as volunteers. And we believe that God's called us to be a prophetic voice in the nation, and we are working very hard with the hope that our plans will result in people being elected to Parliament. And there's an election going on in South Australia at the moment, 6-7 weeks away, and our candidate there, Deepa Matthew, for the state upper house, has a very, very good chance. And thanks to the generosity of our supporters, we've got a very well-resourced campaign there. So watch this space in South Australia. We're very hopeful for a breakthrough into the Parliament there. I won't go into all the details today, but here in Victoria, they're changing the voting system for your upper house. And the upper house, and sorry for those who aren't up with all the civics knowledge of how the parliament functions, but they're changing the system in a way that's going to make it almost impossible for minor parties like us to get elected. So we've had some discussions with our team yesterday here about what that means, and we still want to stand candidates, but we just know that for this election, because of the way the system has been rigged, essentially, I know it's a strong word, but that's essentially what's happened. It's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, for us to get people elected at your November election. But we're nonetheless committed to putting our blue shirts out on the polling booths and giving people an opportunity to vote for people who will fight for family, faith, freedom and life. And we want to continue to build something here in Victoria for the long term, for when the voting system's reformed back to a way that does give us a fighting chance. So I want us to be thinking about the future, not just what's on our plate here, but what's happening in our state, our city and our nation and the needs here, because I believe God's interested in all. And if we go to the next slide, and I'm just going to skip through this very briefly, but we don't have time to unpack all this, but God is a God who's interested in cities. He is absolutely interested in your personal piety and you coming to know Jesus and other people coming to know Jesus. That is absolutely essential to our Christian mission. But if you look through the New Testament, Paul is always going to cities and always having something to say to the wider situation beyond people's personal piety. So he goes to Athens in the book of Acts and he debates the philosophers on Mars Hill and talks about their altar to an unknown God and says, I know who the real God is that you're looking for. He challenges the elites in civil society, the philosophers. When was the last time you heard Christians speaking to the intellectual elites in our nation? I believe that's part of God's commission to us. It's part of the reason we're passionate about politics, speaking into these debates where intellectuals seem to be taking our nation in a certain direction. In Corinth, Paul speaks to the immorality of that Roman city and gives us the famous chapter on love and what real love means in the midst of a pagan sexuality which is totally debauched. In Ephesus, Paul takes on the economic life of the city and creates a riot because people are turning from worshipping the god Diana and the silversmiths are going out of business. And so there's a riot in the city of Ephesus because the hip pocket of people is touched. I wonder what would happen if the hip pocket of people is touched in today's society. What are we as Christians saying into the economy and the economics and where people's hearts really lie? Philippi was a Roman colony. And that was a place where Paul was saying, well, hang on, don't be like the Romans. We're starting a Christian colony. And of course, in Rome, Paul finished off his life there in Caesar's household as a prisoner, right at the seat of the empire. God always wants his people to fan out and to take ground in areas beyond perhaps what some of us modern Christians think is the purview of our ministry experience. And so I just wanted to introduce that thought today. And that is the reason why Jane and myself and so many others are passionate for the political realm, because it touches on so many of these areas. Well, just some quick keys for taking ground. And these are just some little things that I've taken out of my reading. It's not everything, but Joshua said to the people of Israel, choose you this day whom you will serve. As you look at your commission for 2026, I hope all of us have chosen in our hearts, regardless of where we're serving, whether it's in one of the ministries that's been mentioned this morning or whether it's in your job or in your family, wherever God has placed you, that you've chosen in your heart, this day I will serve the Lord. So me and my house will serve the Lord. The Bible talks a lot in these Old Testament narratives about taking the land, about inclining your heart to the Lord. Make 2026 a year where your heart is inclined to the Lord. This is a key to taking ground. God also makes it clear it's not by your sword and your bow. There's a lot of skilled people in this room, a lot of professional people, and I really respect and admire the discipline of our teachers. It's not your sword and bow. Yes, God uses those things, of course, but at the end of the day, it's God who's fighting for you. We need to all give up our idols. One of the saddest things in Judges chapter 1:27, after they've conquered much of the land, it says that the Canaanites still persist in living among you. What Canaanites might persist in living among us? And I'm talking to myself as well. We've got to continually guard our hearts for the idols, for the things that we tolerate in our lives. Keys to taking the land is driving out those things which inhibit us, which the enemy has ground in our land. And finally, where there's hell, let's bring heaven. And this is where the New Testament, I guess, comes into it. How did Jesus ask his disciples to pray? He said, pray in this way, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You know, our job as Christians isn't to get out of earth into heaven. It's not to get other people out of earth into heaven. Now, hear me right. I do believe that when we die, we go to heaven and we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, the saints, and I felt the presence of the angels here this morning as we were worshiping and the saints. But Jesus' passion and his mission for us is that we bring heaven to earth. So where there's hell, we should be, as Christians, running to those places of hell. That's why I love the idea of Christian schools, Oxley Kids, all the things that are represented here, because you're bringing Christian culture into a world that would otherwise be a culture of hell. And that's no small thing that we're doing here. So let's be bringers of heaven to earth. The most frightening verse in the Bible to me is in Judges 2, verse 10b, and it says, and there arose another generation after them that did not know the Lord. And so much of the ministry that comes out of the LMC group, of course, is directed at young people in the next generation, and that's incredibly strategic. Let's go into 2026 with a sense of the fear of God that we don't want to see another generation that doesn't know the Lord. And I think the good news about what's happening here is that there is a generation rising up through the work that you're doing that does know the Lord. And just finally, of course, Jesus commissioned his disciples to go into all nations and to preach the gospel, to baptize, to disciple. And I just want to leave you again with that thought from Jesus commissioning, but also just hearkening back to the speech that Joshua and Caleb made in that aborted commission that didn't work out. And they said, if the Lord delights in us, take the land. And I just want to leave you today with the thought that I believe the Lord does delight in each and every one of you here today and in what is being done through the faithful service of you all and particularly your leaders here. If the Lord delights in us, and he certainly does, take the land. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you would like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.